You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Welcome in, everybody. This is Inside the Gamecocks, the show, firing off here on a wide open Wednesday. We are live, of course, from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide, and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. And as always, my co-host, J.C. Sherbert. How you doing, sir?
Oh, well, challenging day so far, but that's okay. That's life. This is 49. You're like, this is 40. I'm like, 40 was fun. My 40s were more fun than my 30s until recently.
That's right.
Maybe too much fun in the early 40s. But yeah, this is Inside the Gamecocks, a show on a wide open Wednesday. Great to see all the names in the chat box today. The McKellar Enterprises ITG chat box is popping. And lots of talk about baseball today, obviously. Did want to pass along. I don't know if you guys got to it. I just put it on X. There's a report out yesterday about a grad transfer offensive lineman that's visiting South Carolina from Houston. His name is David Nwike. A lot of these interesting names, right? 6'6", 325. Actually, old. You know, we're talking about getting older on the offensive line, Phil. This guy was class of 2020, which means freshman year he was at Western Kentucky with Clayton White. Wow. You know, and then found his way to Houston. He's from Atlanta. He was a 6'2", 240-pound D-tackle and grew. So went from undersized D-tackle to a mammoth offensive lineman. Well, they had him in. You know, he had an injury this past year. And they're just gonna kind of move on from him. It's something to where, with their need to have depth that can play immediately, you know, they needed to feel very comfortable with it. And so obviously these things happen. So scratch him off the board, and they will end up moving forward. So that's that. So don't, if you're following recruiting, and I do think South Carolina will continue to pursue legit grad transfer options, then scratch him off the list. So he's off the list. You're off the list. But hopefully he finds some place to play, because he's a pretty good player, you know, kind of a slower developmental guy like a lot of them. But certainly as a tackle prospect with the injury to Peak, you know, they kind of – But if you need somebody to come in and help, you got to have them healthy with the injury to Peak. I mean, you don't want to have that situation again. So yeah, we will continue to keep you updated on all of that. Kind of one of those things. Craiger says to see JC without a beard is wild. Craig, are you watching the – oh, I think he was talking about the intro.
Yes.
I was like, did I shave and not notice it? Is this a simulation? Did the simulation glitch, Phil? So lots to talk about in there. Yeah, talk about food. Tri-State comes in, because the question was, Meredith, what would be your master's meal? And Tri-State says Texas ribeye and red fish for Scott. Bobby's in the chat box. Afternoon, Bobby. Good to hear from you, my friend.
Hey, man.
Matt says JB doesn't even look at the chat box on Wednesdays. It's too much for him. Ha ha. Well, I can explain that. It's not that he's ignoring it. You know, we obviously always embrace the chat box on our end of it. That's kind of what we do. He, a lot of times on the morning show, they'll have three guests like they did today, or co-host and two guests. And, you know, it's kind of what that, you know, what they like to do is you know, you listen to them to get the interviews and the stuff like that, and the takes and all that. So it's not intentional, Matt, but and it's not that it's too much. I mean, he's fine with everything, but that's why, you know, because they, if we had guests like that, it would be hard for me to keep up with the chat box. That but because true. I'm a message board guy, you know, from way back, and I've been answering questions on message boards. Hopefully I will be answering them again really soon. I'm like, yeah, I try to keep up. I mean, that's kind of me. This is a personality thing.
Mm-hmm.
Personality thing. Krager said, did we ever get a John Smith as a recruit anymore? These names. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. There are some interesting names out there. There's a lot of hyphenated names out there now. But then you have like a trend to where it's like, you know, like Josh Smith from, I mean, Dylan Stewart is a pretty common name.
Yeah, that one's, yeah, pretty close.
Mm-hmm. Josh Smith, Dylan Stewart is a pretty common name, you know. And so you, it's either like super common or it's you know, it's got a, you know, kind of a different, you know, non-English last name. I mean, my wife's last name is Tante Yankum. Beautiful last name. Her name, if you saw her on Facebook, would be, it reads like Nathini Sullivan. And I was like, Nathini. I was like, that sounds like, you know, being, you know, back in the day they had women named Fanny.
Yeah.
I just don't know that I could be with a girl named Fanny. And Nathini kind of reminded me of Fanny, like Nathini. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's a gorgeous, most beautiful name ever. Now, I'm not saying that because it's my wife. Her name is Natine Tantiankum. It's beautiful, man. It just rolls off your tongue. Natine Tantiankum.
Mm-hmm.
And then she married a Sullivan, and her kids' last names were Sullivan. So she kind of just kept Sullivan, and that's that. But it's not Nathini. She goes by Nat. But I call her Wuzzle. I don't know why. How that nickname was Wuzzy. My voice to text says puzzle now. Like when puzzle. I'm going to pick her up, I'm like, I'm almost there, Wuzzle. And it says, you typed or you texted almost. I'm almost there, puzzle. And so I just call her puzzle now. So it's kind of crazy. But anyway, so lots of stuff. So we can't avoid baseball. We'll talk about it. But Billy chimes in. We love hearing from Billy on Wide Open Wednesday. Paul's got to go. It's bad enough. They kept Lamonder. Men's programs stink now. Hard to believe it's gotten this bad. All true statements. I'll say this.
Not wrong.
I've said this before, Phil. There's an intellectual argument to be made for retaining Lamont Paris when you look at the financial numbers and how it stacks up with the rest of the SEC. You could, and now I'm not saying I agree with it, because I was pretty clear that at some point when you balance everything out, losing is one thing, losing historically is quite another. Circling the drain is quite another, metaphorically right. speaking. So I'm not saying I agree with it, but it's not something where it's like, that's just crazy. You know, why would, you know, I'm not saying, I mean, you know, I'm just saying that there's a logical school. There's a path to get there, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're 15th in the SEC and you spend more on women's basketball than men's basketball by a little bit. Now there's reasons for that. The women's team travels all over the country to not only play regular season games, but also go to tournament games. That's awfully nice. And then they also recruit all over the country and internationally. I mean, so it costs money to do all that. That's what those operating expenses are for. Baseball's top 10 in America. Every other team in operating expenses for baseball has been in the tournament the last however many years. A lot of them won national championships. Seventh. They're seventh. They're not even 10th.
Right.
Seventh. So they're spending the resource. We talked about resources all day yesterday, Phil.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The resources are in place there by comparison. It's seventh in the SEC, because the top seven are all SEC schools. Clemson's right behind the Gamecocks. But SEC schools historically have cared about baseball and support baseball. Texas is only fifth, and they got more money than anybody. So the resources are there. The NIL's there. I mean, they're not hurting. I mean, maybe it's not number one. but it's not number nine.
No,
it's not number eight. It's top half, top fourth, probably, you know, and so yeah, he's got to think about that. Yeah, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. And in today's age where we talk about money and resources, I don't necessarily agree with it, because sometimes losing's losing, right? And you can lose with a big budget just as much as you can lose with a small budget. And you, just like you can win, it's harder, but you can win. So there's that. And then on the flip side of everything, you know, baseball is living high on the hog, you know? Like my mom always said, and they're dead last. They're the worst. They're the, right now through however many games, they're the worst team in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, it makes no sense. It's inexcusable. And after that post game presser yesterday, it's obvious he doesn't even want to be here. So if he's miserable being here, and we're miserable having him here, then there should be a mutual parting of ways. Nobody's saying you have to leave and just, you know, don't let the door hit you on the way out. But at the same time, you can't lose this program. Like, it is the one consistent men's program at South Carolina that has the highest floor and ceiling. And you're slowly dismantling that here, continuing to do so. And at the point where... And you just said it. I mean, you're spending a lot of money to for this program to be this bad. And you can get, what, between 100 and 200 people in an 8,000-seat stadium for a midweek game, where you used to be able to fill that thing up on a Wednesday in March, it's just beyond the pale. It's gone too far. It's time to everybody go their separate ways. You know, it didn't work. Nobody likes to admit when they make a decision that didn't work. And I don't even see progress through the season, JC. Like, what we saw yesterday, the mental lapses, all these increases in errors that are popping up. This is not a team that's moving in the right direction. I don't care if they do sweep Arkansas. If they sweeping Arkansas would be would reinforce what I'm saying here. This team lacks consistency from game to game, from week to week. The win-loss record shows it out. The way that they play shows it out. The changes that get constantly made, even though we're told it's not going to, like, the batting order is going to stay. Okay, here's the other thing that I'm looking at. Okay, we hear that the batting order is going to stay the same this week. We're going to stick with the guys that we've got to see if we can create some consistency. That way they don't feel like they're looking over their shoulder. I know he's not off to the best start this season, but that happens because it's baseball. Where was Bo Hollins? He hit .288 as a freshman in SEC play last season. That guy's not good enough to hit for you this year. Not good enough to stick with it. I just don't get it. There's a lot of decisions I don't get. And I think that now's the time. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Because if you wait, A, you're going to lose. You're going to erode even more of the already eroding foundation that you have. And if you know you're going to end up doing it anyway, you just need to do it now.
I agree. I don't think it's going to happen before Arkansas. But I don't think you need to wait too much longer after that, because, you know, look, when you make a change in season, sometimes it's for the best for everyone involved, right? Sometimes coaches do it for themselves. And that's easy, like Steve Spurrier did. He was like, well, they're not listening to me anymore, so I'm going to hang it up. That was smart. Steve Spurrier, for all the talk about, like, you know, that he was just an offensive coach, and if he wasn't calling plays, he wasn't really a very good coach. No, he actually was. He did things his own way. But just like things like he didn't put pressure on his players to win, you wouldn't believe that. Right.
Yeah.
He never talked about winning. He talked about playing your best. And he won because of that. Little psychology there. You know, he always said, I was in, like, the first chapter in one of his books after he retired or got out of coaching, resigned. It was called A Good Day to Fire Myself. I'll fire myself, you know. And he did. And a lot of respect for him on that, in that level. You know, I think that when you look at, somebody asked about Jeremiah Donati, and he's, yeah, what was his first big coaching change at SMU? Keep in mind, at SMU, Jeremiah Donati was kind of the number two guy under Chris Del Conte, who went to Texas. And I believe he inherited Jamie Dixon in basketball, who's an alum. He inherited Gary Patterson, and I believe Schlossnagel or whoever replaced Schlossnagel was there too. I'd have to look that up, Phil, see who the baseball coach was. You know, and just talking about the three sports that we're talking about here. Now, he fired Gary Patterson on Halloween 2021. They were 3-5 overall, 1-4 in the Big 12, and had just gotten whipped by Kansas State. And Donati's, you know, had the flowery, you know, I mean, you know how people, I mean, you don't fire Gary Patterson at TCU and just say, hey, we've sought new leadership, goodbye, you know. And that took a lot, right? I mean, that guy is synonymous with TCU football. I can't say they've done significantly better except for 1 year.
Is it Kirk Sarlos, I think, is the current baseball coach, hired in 2022.
So he did hire him. Now, yeah. Was he a promotion internally? Was he an assistant for Schlossnagel?
Or no? Former pitcher, current. Hold on, let me see.
Yeah, look him up.
Yeah. He's the 20th head coach at TCU.
Should be on his Wikipedia.
Yeah, that's what I just pulled up, Wikipedia, to see if Wow. Okay, he was an assistant virtually, yeah, from 2013 to 2021 at TCU.
Yeah. Yeah. So he is. This is an internal promotion.
Internal hire.
Much like Donati was. Patterson was out, though. Now, here's before everybody gets happy, you know, because you're probably thinking, well, he fired a legendary coach during a season before. They gave him the option to stay, and Gary Patterson declined. So what do you make of that? I don't think that does anybody any good. I think that's probably the worst. That's worse than just letting him dangle. If you say he's out at the end of the year, but he's going to coach out the season. Great. You don't talk about a lack of effort now.
Right.
You know, I mean, and so but I wouldn't wait, you know, I wouldn't wait too long, because you have a chance again. I mean, look, the SEC home opener starts Friday. We're not even to that part of the journey yet. This team's already lost double-digit games. They've lost 5 games to mid-majors. They could not, they couldn't score a run. First 2 SEC games, and they got blown out and did not score in that game except for a 3-run homer. They gave up 7 runs with 2 outs last night. I think it was all that damage was with 2 outs. I'm sorry, you know, and Phil, you said inconsistent. I don't even know that we've seen any consistency. I don't know that we've had any good moments. Outside of a game here and a game there, I mean, beating LSU in one game last year, yeah, they were the number one team in the country. Good job. You know, I think LSU won the national championship. Yeah, they beat the national champs. But that was one game, right? Beating Clemson this year, impressive game, right? You only had 4 hits, but an impressive game. You needed to get off the schneid in the rivalry series, and you did. Didn't want to get swept. Other than that, where's the upside? You know, like, Mark Kingston, one of his worst teams, they had a non-conference series with Texas at home, and I believe they took 2 out of 3. And that was they were up for that. I mean, you know, just about every team around here that hasn't been good has had moments. There have been no moments.
No, no.
I mean,
Mm-mm.
At this point, going, 22-0 last year against mid-major, that's great. I'd take that this year. Yeah, you still have hope, but you're sitting there at 12-10, and you're like, and man, I don't know if anybody's, I said this on coffee today. But so here's what's coming. It's also on our X account, at Gamecock Show. Number 4, Arkansas, 3 games this week. Then you turn around and you go to the Queen City. Number 14, North Carolina. You go head on down. They're obviously going to come back to Columbia before they do that, but if you wanted to, you just head on down to 85 to Athens. There's number 7, the Dogs. That's 3 games. Home on March 31st against Wofford, which, with the way things are going, who knows? And then, by the way, April 2nd through 4th, guess who could Texas, the aforementioned Texas Longhorns, number 2 in the country, come to town. And then, oh, by the way, back in that series up is a trip from Chad Holbrook and College of Charleston, which, you know, they're going to want to win on a Tuesday. So those are the next 12. How many can you expect to win? You know, and you don't make decisions if you're an AD based on hypotheticals. But what you have to ask yourself is this ever going to turn around? And I said this morning, I was like, there's feelings and all that. I'm usually one that's like, screw your feelings, right? No F-bombs today.
That's right.
But the facts, there's no evidence that it's going to turn around. It's been virtually the same baseball team with 28 new players year to year. Same baseball team, same issues, same hitting approach. You know, the pitching has been a little better in spurts versus some great individual efforts. I do think this is a deeper and more talented team. I think, but same results. So, I mean, it's a bottom line business. And so 79 games in, you got to ask yourself, what's going on? And that's not even like counting the ancillary things like, oh, the ballpark has been here since 09 and it looks like a COVID game.
Yeah.
Like seriously, like I joked like, around the other day and said, where there's only parents in the stands. I mean, you know, I joked around the other day and said, maybe get some cardboard people. They really could use some cardboard people.
Dude, the number in attendance doubled when the softball team got there. It will have
been, you know, yeah. I mean, I said the other day, I was like, I was thinking on the broadcast last night, by the way, shout out Grayson Griner, did a really good job. I did the TV stream instead of the radio.
Same. I did the same. Yeah. I watched the TV.
Now yeah. I listened when I was in my truck for a little bit, cause I had to go vote yesterday in the primary here. And so I listened a little bit of the truck, but you know, what I heard on the radio was the Charlotte dugout. And yep. I hear Carolina's dugout when something happened. And then, you know, some parents and stuff in the stands. That's it. And the organ. You know, sometimes you don't even notice there's an organ. But the organ was – shout out to whoever plays the organ. That's all. They do a great job. But it's sad, dude. It's sad. That ballpark has been around for 17 years. And it's never been like that.
No,
it's worse than the Colonial Life Arena,
right? Yeah, you think you have an image problem with the CLA? Yeah, let baseball keep drawing 200.
My man John Whittle took a picture and said, "Y'all come on out," and that photo went viral. And then you compare it to Auburn. Now, why are we in a world where Auburn's better than South Carolina baseball? They haven't been ever, ever, ever. Why are we in a world where Georgia and Auburn are better than South Carolina in baseball? I understand Tennessee, they hit the coaching lottery. You know, Kentucky, they're better than South Carolina in baseball. You know, I would say Vanderbilt, man, but Vanderbilt's been good for 20 years. You know, Corbin got it going. We know what they did. Who else is better than South Carolina now? Everybody. Maybe not Missouri, but since Carolina's got to go out there and they never can seem to win out there, and by the time they get there, that one is right after this 12-game stretch in Como.
Yeah, that's your breather.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
And so my question is like, you know, given all the tangible evidence that this is not working, why not just go ahead and pull the plug, you know? And I want to, you know, I'll say this, and then we'll get to a break, and then the second hour, Phil, we're just going to go chat box city. Yeah, I want to catch up with all this. I've seen some pretty interesting takes out there on Twitter. All right, so for the people that have any kind of inkling, because you don't want Monty Lee to get the permanent job, and you'd rather keep Paul Maneri because you're worried Monty Lee is going to turn it around and win, and then they'd hire him. You know,
that's so stupid.
Oh, there's a couple of people that said that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I'm sorry. I mean, I hope I'm not trying to insult anybody. I follow the logic if you're just like a don't hire anybody on this staff guy.
Right.
But, you know, this cannot keep going, or whoever takes the job is going to struggle. Right. Because you're doing damage, like those crowd shots and stuff. You're creating a whole perception that South Carolina baseball not only is in the wilderness right now and not as good as they once were, it's in the abyss and at the bottom. That reinforces people. And you know, in college athletics, you know, money's nice, and that's but perception still matters.
Yep.
You know, with recruiting and stuff, because you can't even get them on the phone if they think that it's that bad. And so there's no need to continue this, you know, don't worry about who the next full-time coach is then, you know, and there's no telling, you know, they may have, again, Terry Rooney's the recruiting coordinator and approves all the offers and decides who they take into the program along with Paul Maneri. There's no telling that, you know, it may be that they just didn't evaluate well either, and that these guys really aren't very good. And no matter who coaches them, they're not going to be good. That's plausible as well. I don't think that's the case, but it's plausible as well. So if somebody gets an interim shot, they may not be able to turn it around. But you have to pull the Band-Aid out, man. You can't sit there and complain about the AD not doing anything and then say, well, I hope he doesn't do anything till the end, because in my opinion, you know, if an interim head coach turns it around and wins, by the way, someone that's, you know, well-respected and people love him. The Gamecock fans mostly love him. He's a Gamecock, all that good stuff. He's put his heart and soul into this program, you know, through the years, helped build a championship program. You'd think that would count for something. Just because you don't want him to get the job, which is fine. Even if you're like, I don't want him to get the job because he got fired at Clemson, which is, you know, a lot of deciders around the University of South Carolina apparently felt that way when they hired Maneri. Even if that's your take, that's fine. But that has absolutely nothing to do with what needs to happen almost immediately. You know, that's a pretty, I don't want to say high-minded, because it's not very, you know, bright. But it's an out of the box thought, and I wouldn't have said anything had I not seen it three different times. And I hope to God there's nobody at the University of South Carolina that's in a position to make a decision that, you know, maybe they're worth. When is it ever prudent to worry about, oh my God, what happens if we win? And have you not noticed all the losing around here?
Yeah, well, what happens if we win?
God, oh, I don't nobody know. You know, because it smells like one of those, you know, things that kind of get out sometimes, you know, and you're like, what? Who's making decisions? I'm not saying there is or is not. I'm just saying I hope to God that's just a couple of knuckleheads thinking out loud on X. You know, I mean, obviously Monty Lee's the associate head coach and would be the logical interim. You know, obviously I think he's, you know, the only other person that's been a head coach, I think, would be, you know, Terry Rooney, and you don't want that. But if it wasn't Lee as the interim, I mean, everybody that knows baseball may kill me. I'll take that. Give it to Hendry or Gordon or whoever. Bring Stewart out of the booth. I don't care.
Right, yeah, take Coach Lake out of the booth and put him down there for the rest of the season. Stewart's doing
a pretty good job, man. He's a ball coach, but. Yeah. I mean, I don't care, you know. I just can't believe it, you know. So anyway, that's my take on it. SC Lawman says, I'll cut to the chase. Does Maneri step down now and let Lee take over as interim coach, or wait until season's in? I don't know, man. There's one school of thought and some buzz out there that maybe he'll just say, look, but man, I'll say this, you know, he's around my mom's age. And I've talked about generations. Sometimes I say I'm worried about, I sound like an old man worried about the younger generation, the older generation in front of Phil and I, the boomers. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. Those guys, look at that generation. They don't like to just give up. They don't like to just walk away.
They're not going to walk away. He's not. They're going not to walkers away. On his own. It's not.
Yeah.
No.
And that's why
not just generations. Leadership. Like the Steve Spurrier thing is so rare, not just for that age, but for that level of coaching. Like, you're the head coach at the university. I'm not giving this job up. You're gonna have to tell me to leave if you want me to leave.
Got a shot from the outfield from last night. Oh my god, it looks like a high school scrimmage. Thank you to my man Bill for sending that in. Not Wild Bill Gunner. SC Lawman, I think why they call it leadership, athletics leadership, university leadership, needs to say, this is not working. Here's your check. And look, the buyout, I'll say this before we go to break. It's $3.9 million at the end of the year. If things continue to go like they will, even if this team improves slightly, I think you have to move on. It's historically bad, and you can't make the wrong type of history in two different sports, you know, and you got kind of a reason with basketball. Well, it's not funded correctly, but there's no excuse like that in baseball. Okay. So you can't just, I mean, you gotta, he's, this is, has to end at the end. You're either going to pay him to coach or pay him not to coach. And the best move for the team would be for him not to coach. You're going to pay him anyway. So it's $3.9 million at the end of this year, in June, regardless. And so that's my thing about that. All right, I got a little fired up there. Prager said, I seem down and dejected. Not as dejected as I was after the Vanderbilt football game on coffee. But yesterday was just like, what in the world, man? I mean, you're up 5-2. Things are going relatively well. You're actually kind of hitting the ball. You know, you have a chance to – it's not super-duper momentum. You did get swept last week and did lose to Citadel, but you got a chance to reverse things and get some positive mojo going into the SEC home opener. Again, we're not even that far into the season. And you just blow, give up 7 runs. And then you once this team gets down, there's no coming back. And again, with the inconsistency point, Phil – They've been consistently bad most of the year, even in some wins they couldn't hit the ball. There's been very few bright spots, you know, where they went out and took care of business against a team they should. All right, so Gamecock Traditions is taking care of business. They got a big sale on all the Under Armour stuff. Got to get it out, folks. It's going to be vintage in 5 years, right?
Keep that.
I was talking
mind.
To somebody the other day. They're like, man, I wish I had some Russell Athletic Gamecock gear. I was like, oh, not me. Not Steve Spurrier either. Steve Spurrier wore the Russell stuff at 05, and by 06, he had this signature line of shirts that had his signature on his visor and his shirt. But man, that's the height of confidence.
Yeah, it is.
I'm wearing this shirt that says ball coach on it. Right? Steve Spurrier. I had some of that. I had a visor and a phone level. But check it out, GamecockTraditions.com, brick and mortar stores, and the Village at Sand Hill and Lexington. This is Inside the Gamecocks Show. We'll be back after this.
It's back. Tartan Day South, a celebration of Celtic culture built by Culpeper Wood. I promise you don't have to be Scottish to enjoy South Carolina's most unique family festival. Experience Highland games, music, dancing, animals, crafts, a car show and a parade. Kick off your weekend of adventure with a Celtic concert on Friday and a full day of affordable fun and festivities on Saturday at the historic Columbia Speedway. March 27th and 28th. Get your tickets and more information at tartandaysouth.com. Come see what you've been missing.
Hey, this is Cornbread Cowboy, and you're listening to the show. We'll be right back.
We are officially opened at the all-new JT's Kia. You've got to see it to believe it.
We're serious about making your buying experience fast, friendly, and hassle-free.
Get grand opening 0% for 60 months on the new JT's Kias. Put no money down and get my million-mile warranty. I'm so excited, savings up to $10,000.
I'll throw in $5,000 over book value for your trade. That's a grand opening for the record books.
Hurry to the all-new JT's Kia.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost five decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our four locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
The Aventon Adventure 2 takes the same basic design as the original Aventon Adventure, making it an adventure bike designed to take you places that typical roads just don't reach, allowing you to ride whatever terrain you want based on your whims of the day. Look at what you're getting. Hydraulic disc brakes, torque sensor for responsive pedal assist, great LED lighting, suspension, a beautifully welded frame with excellent build quality, included rear rack, included fenders. The list just keeps going on.
Visit electricbikescharleston.com for more.
Gamecock Traditions is your one-stop shop for all things South Carolina. From apparel to tailgating, children's clothing to kitchenware, jewelry, or even gift cards. If it exists, it exists at Gamecock Traditions. Ship it to your home via GamecockTraditions.com or go see our friends in Lexington. Gamecock Traditions, a family tradition. Go Gamecocks.
Sell your quality sports and fitness equipment to Play It Again Sports and get paid. Recycling your in-demand sports gear keeps it available in your community. Sell, buy, trade, and win with Play It Again
Sports! Watch JC and Morgan every week on the Chief Sports Network. Now back to ITG.
This seems about right.
The show loves Spartanburg. Now back to Mad Dog and Sparkle City's finest, J.C. Sherbert.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show on a wide open Wednesday. So, hey, J.C., let's dive into the McKellar Enterprises ITG chat box.
Woo! Yeah. We were talking about names earlier. Brave Red says... Brave Red Cock actually says Fred Johnson's an all-time favorite. Me too. That's a great linebacker name. We had a good, gosh, was it middle school? Middle school or high school one. We had this linebacker named Freddie Copeland. I remember Freddie had orange hair. He dyed it. Kind of a wild man. Well, not for Clemson or anything, though. Just had orange hair. And we had a linebacker named Freddie. Every Freddie I knew in school that played football was a linebacker and a pretty much a bad, you know what. So I think there's some things from my childhood or my youth creeping up with that, but I agree there. Wide Open Wednesday. Matt says about Jamie in the chat box. He's like, usually Wide Open Wednesdays is too much to keep up with. It is a lot. It is a lot. Mm-hmm. Ethan said, I just wanted you to know he's not ignoring you guys. He loves you guys. We all do. Ethan says, hopefully we can keep Craddock around for next year. Hopefully so. I mean, hopefully so. Bruin says Billy Cotton should expect this. He's been a fan for 50 years. I don't expect it, Bruin, because it's never been this bad ever in my lifetime.
Right. It's so bad.
And I'm 49. So, yeah, don't expect this. I mean, you can expect not-so-good seasons. A Gamecock fan, you probably learn to expect disappointment and teams that just don't have it and teams that aren't very good. But this over 2 years for the baseball program, that's not normal. That's not a lull. No. That's not a lull. That's not a, oh, here we go again. That's a straight up, you know, this is not acceptable.
You know, sirens should be going off, you know, in the admin buildings. Yeah.
God Soldier RNG says, is there an ITG bracket game? Yes, there is.
Yeah, we're gonna play with
Bruins. We're piling into Bruins bracket, okay? Yeah. Bruin doesn't even know this. So Bruins started one. We have the link here. The password's Gamecocks. I didn't have to use a password today. Phil's going to put the link in the chat box on ESPN. Yeah. Bruin, we're inviting everybody to play in the bracket that you created this year. Next year, probably do a little something a little more formal as far as, I guess, you know, an ITG managed and run one. But we went with Bruins. Phil said that Bruins started one. And so, yes, please get in that. I've got my wife and stepson in. Phil's going to join all his crew.
Oh, yeah.
We'll play and have a good time. First prize, gift certificate of some kind, and I'll send you a Chief Sports hat. About that.
Yeah.
Even said, I know maybe he didn't anticipate making a move this early, but he's not going to have a choice. Yeah, I could care less if he anticipated it or not, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of being an athletic director. And, I mean, the numbers are public. It's not like South Carolina's losing. Now, maybe this year that debt changes. You know, the projections may be different, but the last fiscal year, I think Carolina lost about a couple hundred grand. A lot of Rutgers is $500 million in debt, you know, so.
Yeah.
Clint says it's pretty astounding how many terrible hires Tanner made, not just hires that didn't quite work out, but honest to goodness, total failures. This is a total failure. Lamont Paris could be a total failure. Will Muschamp, not a total failure. Guy that replaced the guy, left the roster in better shape. Not, didn't win enough, obviously. Not, you know, not a problem to see him get fired. You know, Beamer's to be determined. It's been as inconsistent. Phil used that word. I got accused of defending Ray Tanner too much the other day. I'm in no way defending the shape that any of these programs are in, just to be clear, right? But I'm also not going to sit there and act like the new AD, which has done some great things. I mean, just to kind of lay it out, there are a couple athletic directors ago, there's no way on God's green earth anybody at South Carolina would have cut a check like they cut to Kendall Briles for an offensive coordinator. That just would not have happened. They would have been told, no, you can't hire – would have been a defensive coordinator back then. Now, hire somebody cheaper, you know. So that was a couple of athletic directors ago. So – I like that. I like the fact that, you know, in football, when they got in the portal, you know, you had a situation where these prices went crazy, like running back, everything. And he's got a real can-do type of deal behind the scenes. There's some good things he's done. But I'm not going to sit there and act like the guy's the godfather. Like this mess where people are like, well, Beamer would have never hired if it weren't for Donati. Yeah, Donati helped get Briles there. He had a relationship with him, but Beamer hired him. It was his choice, his decision.
Oh, right? Yeah, the shadow.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to sit there. And that goes back to the Mike McGee era where, you know, Mike McGee kind of did micromanage, especially football. Because he's an old football coach, right? You know, Ray Tanner's not the first former. Eric Hyman also was a coach that coached football, by the way. Ray Tanner's not the first former coach to be the AD here.
No.
You know, so I like that, but I'm not going to sit here. The guy that now 2 years in a row has not made a change, because that would be hypocritical of me. I'm not criticizing him. I'm just saying that to sit there, if you thought Lamont Paris should be fired strongly and you felt that way and you think Paul Maneri should be fired and he hasn't been yet. If you thought Maneri should have been fired last year, you can't sit there and go, oh, and just blame it all on the contract. because the contracts are all there's nothing outrageous about the contracts at South Carolina. They're the same thing. The SEC. David Cloninger wrote it out in a great article the other day about, hey, this is pretty standard and this is what happens, unfortunately. You know, and Carolina hasn't paid a whole lot of buyout money, thank God. You know, look at your peer schools. And if you don't want to look at what everybody else does, and is it unfortunate? Yes. I would like a world where all these coaches and players' contracts at the college level are heavily incentivized and you get paid based on what you do rather than what you might do. And I don't like golden parachutes either. Because you need to incentivize, right, in anything in life. And now, you know, you don't have financially, coaches nor players are incentivized at all. But you can't, what's South Carolina supposed to do? Go like, well, we're just not going to do that. Well, you better start looking up who's winning at AC Flora High School. No offense to AC Flora, because that's your coaching pool. You know, you better start figuring out how to get players to compete in the league, because that's your player pool. If you start doing that, theoretically, great. College sports went in that direction, I'd be happier than a pig in slop. But you can't do that. So I don't know that it's, and people are mad at Donati too. Now they're not just blaming it on Tanner. I just don't think it's all one thing, right? I'm not defending any of the hires. I think it's been a bad run of hires. I consider myself a pretty intelligent person. I would be lying about me being smart if I sat here and said, yeah, it was a great run of hires. No, in men's sports, yeah. in the three men's sports, in the sports that the highest profile sports here, I guess. I think women's basketball is pretty good. But, yeah, I mean, Tanner needed he needed some of these guys to win, obviously, because it does come back on him. As far as the contracts and stuff go, nah, I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried because it happens everywhere, you know. I mean, Florida State has – you want to talk about going to the abyss. Their football program may be heading to the abyss based on one good year. And because they thought that maybe Mike Norvell was going to Alabama, maybe. I wouldn't have hired Mike Norvell over Kalen DeBoer if I were the Alabama AD. Maybe he was going to. I don't know, though. I think there's a lot of boogeymen out there, you know. Shane Beamer deserved the raise he got. I thought Shane Beamer was the lowest paid coach in the conference by a mile. You know, the money he didn't get for his initial contract, they just made up for it. That's a big buyout, like most coaches. You know, the thing Tanner did with the extra year for Muschamp after 18, that probably you could call that into question. But everything else is standard. Donati's going to do the same thing. You know, and so at some point, everybody involved has to just get over the fact that there's buyouts. And frankly, I've been over it. And I don't think that, you know, I think, again, with Paris, there's probably an intellectual question you could ask. Well, what if we took the money that we didn't spend money on a buyout, but what if we instead reinvested? You know, you ask yourself those questions. I don't think that's crazy, right? It's not something I would have done because there's the hot, crazy matrix. There's a loss upside matrix with that. And the losses to me were just too great. Okay. But I don't think it's a horrific decision. I mean, it's a logical decision. There's nothing logical about holding on to baseball right now, holding on to this. So, but you're right, Clint. I mean, I don't disagree. Brave Red Cox says, Paul Maneri reminds me of Coach Klein and Waterboy when Bobby comes back to talk to him in the office about the Waterboy position. Wow. Says maybe Monty could at least relate to the players more effectively. I don't think he's the answer long term, but what could it hurt for the rest of the season? That's my point, man. It's so sad right now, and it's sad for Paul Maneri too. I mean, that's a guy that's won a lot of games, that's, you know, given 40 years of his life to the game. There's nobody that's, you know, sometimes when a coach is like a holy terror in the program and stuff, and you know, and some of the things that came out last year were just kind of, you know, they were true in Whittle's article, but it wasn't, he's not like a tyrant, you know, he's a good, really pretty decent person, right? And you hate to see somebody like that at the end of their career. So personally, you know, I feel really bad for the guy. That press conference last night, I feel personally empathize with him.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be there not too long from now. You know, we all are, me and Phil. Then we're going to get adjacent retirement community condos and sit on the porch, drink beer with our wives for the rest of our lives. Talk about the times.
Living the dream.
Play some pinochle.
Play some pinochle.
Grandkids.
Correct.
But you got to get that early bird special at the S&S. But anyway, so I feel bad, but I care about University of South Carolina and winning in baseball and the baseball program. You know, I it's hard for me to get a ton of tiny violins going for someone that, regardless of whether they win another game, they're probably going to walk away with $4 million. It's more money than I've got, way more. Mm. You know, and I think that's a good consolation prize. Man to man, taking the money out of it, I feel bad for somebody that's in this situation. I do. It's not personal. I don't hate Paul Maneri. And people should realize that, you know, and I think they have for the most part. But Matt says, Monty trying to fire them up, he even falls on deaf ears. Yeah, he's trying, but he's not the head coach, you know. Brent says, I'm actually scared of Donati hirings. We don't know what to expect. No, you really don't. There's an internal promotion in baseball at TCU. Did he hire the women's basketball coach, Phil? Because they've kind of had a turnaround. Check that out. But women's sports, Carolina, Ray Taylor had no problem hiring elite women's coaches. None. They're all pretty good. Right? I think. And Donati's already hired, like, the male Don Staley of beach volleyball in that sport.
Yeah, and he was hired in 2023, Mark Campbell.
That would have been – where was March. He at before?
I can never find Wikipedia when I need it. All right, he was at Sac State.
Sac State.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. Yeah, so and the women and TCU's got a good women's program out there, but women's sports. Let's take that off the table. Let's talk men's sports. Yes, I don't know about the other sports that maybe he hired out there, but he hired Sonny Dykes from across town, and in football, and that paid off for 1 year, and now they're kind of about the same, 8-4 TCU, and then he promoted the baseball coach from within.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of been it because he was a number two guy, you know, to the guy that's at Texas now. And the guy that's at Texas now, Del Conte, everything, like when you inherit, you're at TCU and you're an AD and you get promoted and you inherit Gary Patterson in football up until you fired him, I guess. And then you inherit Schlossnagel in baseball and you inherit Jamie Dixon in men's basketball. I mean, what do you have to do? It's kind of like Ray when he took over. Man, he had Frank Martin and Chad Holbrook was the promotion in baseball because he had to fill his own spot. And had Steve Spurrier. I mean, what more is there to do? Hiring.
You were doing okay. Yeah.
You know, so but you're right, Bruin. We have no idea what to think. No idea what to think. Cam said, man, imagine transferring to South Carolina for your final year and you get to hear your head coach give a post-game presser like yesterday. Feel bad for some of these players. Yeah, there's a big disconnect there. SC Lawman says, I think Maneri will be a forced resignation. I would hope it would be soon. Because, you know, what do you have to lose at this point? What, are people not going to show up in games?
It also gives you time to really take your time, right? Because this is a big hire around here. Assuming that the change is made, right? And you need to do your due diligence because there's going to be a lot of people who want this job and you got to sort through who wants it versus who is the best fit.
There will be a lot of really people that know it, have a passion for it. If you're expecting a big name, the big names to hire up because of to line up for it, that now look, here's a question and it's a legit question. Because other former baseball coaches that have been ADs haven't really had problems hiring good baseball coaches. But a lot of people turned down the job. Or were they a little bit like, well, I don't want to work for the guy? And I've never heard that. But will it be a more attractive job now that there's a new AD? I don't know. But South Carolina has not been able to fill this job like you would have thought. Mm-mm. It's been, you know, kind of like an Indiana basketball kind of deal where they, and Indiana basketball even had some winning times. I think Crean won there a little bit. Kelvin Sampson had it rolling, and then he made 147 illegal phone calls. Got punted. But, you know, so I don't know. You know, I think a lot of people that are expecting this big splash hire, my gut says no, but we don't know. I don't know. Maybe not. I hope so. I hope they make, if they replace anyone, or they replace him, I hope they go knock it out of the park and get the very best baseball coach they can. And, you know, a guy that's going to get the people back in the seats and get people fired up, you know, about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You know, big slamma jamma. Somebody sent Derek Scott a card and some flowers. The intestinal fortitude required to handle the slow burn of basketball and baseball with no escape has to be taking a toll on the man. In back-to-back years.
It's two straight seasons.
Basketball is worse. Baseball is a whole lot worse. And that team last year in baseball was not very good.
No.
A whole lot worse. I didn't have to call losses to Northern Kentucky and Queens and Army and the Citadel and Charlotte.
Charlotte. This is a fourth time in a row this team has lost to Charlotte.
That's embarrassing. Now, they're not all on Menary, you know.
No, that's not all on Menary.
Kingston couldn't beat them for some reason.
That's right. Yeah. It's split 2-2.
Yeah. So I don't know. So they beat. All right. So who have they beaten? They played Winthrop this year. The baseball team didn't play.
They played Wofford, right?
Did Wofford beat them? They beat Charleston Southern. They lost to Charlotte. They lost to Citadel. They were 1-3 against Clemson. And have they played anybody else from North Carolina? No. So they're 3-5 against teams from the Carolinas.
Yeah.
And Coastal's not been on the schedule. So
no. Yeah. You got another one with Wofford at home, and then you got Winthrop at home. Of course, the college comes in.
Oh, yeah. That record could get worse or better.
Davidson. PC. I don't know what they look like, but, you know.
Davidson's in the Carolinas. PC's in the Carolinas. So that record could run right on up to.
Yeah. Another one with the Citadel. Two against the Citadel this year.
Yeah.
No, yeah, they usually do one home and away, yeah. But.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Who knows? That Citadel team's pretty. I mean, they had Georgia on the ropes last night. Harrison says, JC, you're right. With the 7 runs they scored with 2 outs after a routine fly ball dropped by Scobie at short. How do you get routine pop flies dropped within the same week by Evans and Scobie?
Right.
That's happened. Well, which would have ended the inning, yeah.
Evans was no longer in the outfield and was playing first base last night? That was the first thing I noticed because I joined like a little late. I'm like, what is Evans doing at first?
I have no idea. I don't have any comment. Ask Bradford about the lineup. You can still make the postseason if you win half your SEC games. Yeah, I mean, look, there's a long runway for this team.
Yeah,
and there's that's stuff the there, argument. It's not going to happen as it stands today. You know, Bruin says this team may legitimately start the SEC 2-10 or 3-12. It could be worse than that. Well, yeah. There's Missouri. SC Lawman says we'll have an ugly record after that stretch, unfortunately. Yep. Craig says you don't see Little League team drop routine fly balls, and don't tell me it was windy. I'm not going to tell you it was windy. I don't think it was windy. Ed says hard to believe a Hall of Fame coach, baseball traditionalist, has a team that cannot execute basic fundamentals. Yeah, that's shocking.
So, like, his hallmark is apparently infield defense, right? Like, that's what he does, and that's what's letting him down.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Want to be well, 52-18. This has already been discussed, but does anybody really believe that Duckworth could beat out Cutter Woods in 2027? Some do.
Yeah.
Do I? Not right now. But, I mean, Duckworth just went through his fourth practice of spring practice. So
right, yeah.
Hard to tell.
We'll see.
You know? I say that because of Cutter Woods. By the way, Kendall Briles kind of gave away the depth chart for.
I know. Yeah. He said, yeah.
Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Nate Beamer will get mad at him. I mean, the quarterback depth chart's pretty easy to figure out.
I mean,
out.
Yeah, that one is pretty simple.
And what it tells me is that Cutter Woods has gotten better, you know, because it's like, well, mm-hmm. Cutter and Lenoris, and then Lucian Anderson and Duckworth.
Yeah, Lucian and Duckworth are running with the third team. Yeah.
Ed wants to bring back the COVID cardboard cutouts. They may need to. Ethan says, Sarah Luce is legit. Keep his name in mind. That's a baseball coach. Krager said, I wasn't impressed by the Clemson win. They kicked the ball around the yard and gave us about four runs. Yeah. That's baseball thing, though, Craig. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I don't know that I was
not on the good end of a baseball thing. Yeah.
You know, I thought turning around the next day, Phil, they were going to have to hit better and hopefully pitch the same, you know. First game I ever saw at Founders was Carolina LSU in 09. Maneri led them to a College World Series title that season. Distant memory. Yeah. And it is sad. And look, not defending the hire. Obviously, it hasn't worked out. But around here, in other sports, you've had success with guys that are on up there that have proven it elsewhere. You know, Frank McGuire was one, comes to mind. Steve Spurrier and Lou Holtz in football. So, you know, I saw the logic with the hire.
Right.
But I don't think you could have anticipated this. I mean, maybe you could have. And honestly, maybe you should have. So, I mean, because a lot of this is like coaching style and philosophy that is not applicable these days.
Right.
And relating to players. So, Matt says, I listened to much as I could during my son's practice. We were winning and then completely missed the meltdown 7-run inning. Yeah, it did happen with two outs. Thanks, Harrison. Bruin said, Matt says it was weird hearing Cade and Derek with Cade mostly taking the lead. Yeah, it's a little strange. But that, you know, but guess what? I listened to the Braves when I was a kid, right? And Pete Van, they would flip, you know, they would change off like that. Skip Carey would be calling it. He was kind of the play by play guy. And the Braves have gotten up to bat. This is Murphy. And then take it away, Don, or Pete Van Wieren would take over. You know, so maybe they baseball. It's a baseball thing. Clint says it's hard to talk and cry at the same time. Matthew, I feel bad for Derek. I do too. Lance's take went all hard last night. Them Irish ales hit me some kind of way. Yeah, on X. Ha! I saw that. Bring Landon Powell back. I'm at the point, winning's winning. Relating to players is relating to players. You know, in this era, if you give him money, and I mean, he can recruit. So
he's a winner.
That's good.
He's a winner.
Yeah, no. Clint says two things can be true at once. You could root for money as an interim by saying you shouldn't get the job moving forward. That's the position I take, actually. Yeah, interim situations, it just kind of depends on how it plays out, in my opinion.
Yeah, the people that are scared that if he's successful, he's just going to waltz right into a job. The resistance that would be met with on the board of trustees, I mean, he'd have to be like in Omaha. I mean, it's going to have to be like stellar.
I don't know. I don't know about Omaha. The board of trustees probably just doesn't need to make the hire, right?
Well, that's, but
you know, I mean, that's, I don't, you know,
it's my understanding they had some undue influence over
on this last cycle. it just depends on how it looks. I mean,
yeah.
You go on a roll. I mean, honestly, to turn it around from this point, it's proving your coaching chops.
Right. That's true. Mm-hmm.
But it just depends. I mean, I think whoever, I don't care who takes the job. You know, I'd try something different. It's like benching a player, you know, get him out. Yeah. Throwing the towel. It's gonna take a lot to turn this group around. I mean, you don't snap your fingers and do it. So Billy says a lot of drinking nights ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Lawman says, I like Monty, but he's the hitting coach, and that's a glaring consistent weakness for us. I'm okay with interim coach though. On that note, JB pulled the numbers. Okay, so in 23 and 24, Carolina had two of the top 10 offenses run scored wise they've had since 2000. 4 years of Gamecock baseball than the last 2 years of that. It's not like the if you want something similar to football, Lawman, with the offensive coordinator, play caller, it's the pitching coach. Because they're calling pitch to pitch. That's more similar. You know, and I'm not defending the hitting and saying that there's, you know, brilliant hitting instruction and the others are just screwing it up. I mean, obviously this team's got some issues, but there's a very different philosophy. It is kind of like football, though, where you have an OC. Like, okay, the year Jimbo Fisher got fired, Bobby Petrino, pretty good play caller, pretty good offensive coach, had to call Jimbo Fisher's antiquated pro-style offense at A&M. How'd that work out?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the deal. You know, a lot of people talk about the hitting coach. I'm not disagreeing. I'm not advocating. I mean, look, I would just like for them to pull the Band-Aid off. I don't even really care who gets the interim. I don't care. If you want to save your investment and save the program further embarrassment, you probably need to make a move. Now, I say probably because the minute you say anything declarative about this crazy game of baseball, things turn around, you know? It's just baseball. But anyway, we'll be back to wrap it up after this.
For over 80 years, the West Law Firm has delivered hard work, honest advice, and real results, and is a law firm built on family that delivers for families in South Carolina. They represent clients through personal injury, criminal defense, car, DUI, and boating accidents, and more. Built on blue collar, representing blue collar, the West Law Firm understands the importance of dedication and experience needed for representation, but with a foxhole mentality. Visit westlawfirmsc.com. WestLawFirmSC.com. Get comfortable with our team and learn why we should be a part of yours when you need us. Go Gamecocks!
If you have experienced water damage, storm damage, fire or smoke damage, or need mold remediation, you need RestoPros of the Midlands. Visit RestoProsMidlandsSC.com and go Gamecocks!
We are officially opened at the all-new JT's Kia. You've got to see it to believe it.
We're serious about making your buying experience fast, friendly, and hassle-free.
Get grand opening 0% for 60 months on the new JT's Kias. Put no money down and get my million-mile warranty. I'm so excited, savings up to $10,000.
I'll throw in $5,000 over book value for your trade. That's a grand opening for the record books.
Hurry to the all-new JT's Kia.
Hey folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience and service, second to none. Residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer, Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. quality that is guaranteed.
Welcome back, everybody. Final segment of Inside the Gamecocks, the show here on a wide open Twitch. We're doing Hollywood is doing another remake. And this one's got me torn, JC, because it looks like they're going to remake the movie Bloodsport. Which
Jean-Claude Van Damme movie?
Jean-Claude Van Damme. Yeah, true story, they say, about Frank Dukes and the Kumite. But because I have basically said I'm not watching the remakes. Any of these reboots, I'm not doing it. Like, I didn't see Roadhouse. I haven't seen a couple of the other ones that have just come out that are just flat-out remakes. This one, the reason why I'm torn is it's being done by A24, who, if you have kept up with some movies in the past, say, oh, I don't know, what, 10 years or so, like, A24 puts together some really weird stuff. Like, they if it's weird, they'll take it. If it's kind of new or avant-garde, they'll take it. If it's, you know, dark and weird, they'll take it. I don't know. I like the A24 stuff. So I'm going to be torn on this because it is an A24 production, but not big on remakes and reimaginings.
Neither am I, Phil. I about wanted to. They remade Red Dawn and Point Break. They want to. They remake all these Patrick Swayze movies. I'm like, what did he do?
Yeah,
to you?
Yeah. What?
I don't get. What's next? Ghost.
And
remake Ghost. About remake. Too Wong Fu. Thanks for everything. Sincerely, Julie Newmar. I don't think that would fly these days.
I don't think you could get away with that one. I don't know.
That's actually funny. I thought.
You'd have to keep John Leguizamo.
Yes. Chris Pampi. All right, let's roll through that. We got 10 minutes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Do this.
The chat box is at 1:06 p.m. Chris Pampi. All right, rapid fire. Chris kept Monty Lee should have gotten the job anyway. Could have happened. Ed says, I'd make Kevin Schnall, Coastal Carolina coach, say no. Make him an offer he can't refuse. That's probably a good idea. I mean, he spent most of his career at Coastal. He spent some time at UCF, but he's been in the state of South Carolina for most of his career. So obviously, there's some familiar. Chaco makes the point of the day. It will be glorious for the school and the morale of our program if Shane and the boys kill it this year. No pressure, Shane. Yeah, right. Hale had an article about that the other day. No pressure, Beamer.
No pressure.
Poor guy's coming off 4-8. We'll see. You know. We'll see what happens. I did see some power rankings. I don't remember who put them out. At Carolina 12th behind teams like Florida and Tennessee and Auburn. And I just don't buy that. I mean, I say they'll beat Florida, Tennessee, and Auburn this year, or they'll play Auburn. But all that good stuff. T.D. Nelson's Gamecock baseball has been put in the pit of misery. Dilly dilly. Hope says the players probably could relate more to Stuart Lake than any of the others. I'm with others wanting Landon Powell. Landon's a heck of a coach. Ed says, Panner interim coach rest of the season.
How about no?
I don't think he'd want to.
I don't.
Mr. Boogie asks, any rumblings of a move being made? I haven't heard any, like, rumblings about a move. I think some people are maybe kind of reading Paul Maneri's body language and think maybe he may just say that with this at some point.
According to Crow, there is a growing number of alumni and boosters who are becoming very are getting a bit louder with their unhappiness.
Well, we've all gotten louder. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not alumni. We're not boosters, obviously. And he's talking about player alumni. Krager said he'd rather have Andy Rooney than Terry Rooney. SC says, I don't think Paul stepped down voluntarily. Yeah, he needs to be nudged. Or Rooney Mara. Clint with the classic. Every now and then, Clint comes in. Clint's always business in the chat box. But every now and then, Clint will just throw something in there. It's hilarious. Good job. Good job. Tri-State has the Spurrier signature golf shirt. Tremendous. I got one around here somewhere. I had a visor.
Nice.
Krager said, pay him $39 million to go away.
I think he meant $3.9 million. It'd be worth every penny, right?
Eden says, it's my suggestion with Coach Lake taking over. The guys trust him, and he knows ball for interim. I don't know. You have the associate head coach is probably – that's usually what you do. I don't know. I don't know what the scope of it would be. Chaco says, respectfully, Coach Tanner's doing the Homer Simpson meme and backing away into the bushes. Yeah. Harrison says, where does the hire of Paul Menieri rank in terms of just how bad – things didn't work out in a major Gamecock sport, the worst I've seen in my young lifetime. It's like, okay, it's different than a lot of the others. The closest thing, guys, would probably be, and it wasn't this bad, when Bill Foster replaced Frank McGuire in men's basketball, because they hired Bill Foster, and Foster wasn't an older guy. I mean, it was considered a big coup. What they should have done is hire Bobby Crimmins, but they didn't. They wanted, we're mighty South Carolina basketball. We're going to hire. And Foster had some health issues. They were independent. That was hard in basketball in those days. It was the Metro. They got in the Metro like right afterward. And he ended up getting fired. He had one 22-win season. I think that may have been when Zam Frederick was led the nation in scoring. And he took Duke to a Final Four.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, the guy that replaced him took over Duke and had two losing seasons, and people wanted him fired in Durham, and his name was Mike Krzyzewski. So you look back on it, it's kind of like when they hired Steve Newton and could have had Larry Brown or Rick Barnes. You could have gone and gotten Bobby Crimmins, one of your own, but you also could have hired Coach K from Army and left Bill Foster at Duke. Oh, man. Harrison, that's the closest thing. And even Bill Foster was like everybody else since McGuire, except Newton in men's basketball. He had one good year, won 22 games, had nation's leading score, one pretty good year. This is not a Darren Horn or Brad Scott hire. This is your baseball program, which has been good for 50 years. That's had, five coaches in 50 years. Only three of them until 2012.
Right.
This is not basketball where you just kind of, let's tear it down, start over again, or even football where on average they change about every 5 years. It's baseball. And compared to resume and track record, there's been nothing like this at South Carolina. And I'm trying to think of something similar in another sport, where a guy got back in and just couldn't do it.
I don't know.
I mean, Bill Walsh went back to Stanford and he had a winning season, then two losing seasons, and then called it quits. But he had a winning season, Bill Walsh back in the day. I'm trying to think. Johnny Majors at Pitt the second time, but that's also going back. I can't think of anything. There's been some mid-major schools that have rolled the dice on a former champion or something, But not at a place like South Carolina, not with their baseball program. This is kind of unprecedented. SC Law, Marshall Tucker from Sparkle City. Absolutely, Marshall Tucker, man. Ethan says, I'm convinced Paul would have been more successful had he taken over for Ray in 13. Absolutely. I mean, LSU played for national title in 17 and all that. Ray is on the university payroll as a consultant, making $1 million a year. I'll hold my thoughts on that, because it's a point of contention and people think I defend. It's hard to talk about that right now because there's a reason for that as far as what he's doing and kind of some of the needs at South Carolina. And that, which is fundamentally different than coaching searches and stuff. But, you know, Clint says they're not. Did you put the bracket in there, Phil? Just put the bracket link.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. Clint's having trouble joining. Eric Hyman hired Dawn Staley, though. Yeah, that was no comment. I wasn't a big Eric Hyman guy. He was a necessary evil. Not evil, but a necessary necessary at the time. And all the ADs have been. Blake said he thought he was going to pull a Spurrier last night. Yeah, he felt terrible. Lauren said, I'm sorry it hadn't worked out, but you can't fit a square peg in a round hole. I have to know when to quit. Yeah, you got to know, Phil, when to fold them.
That's right.
Know when to fold them. Right.
Yeah. And now's the time to walk away.
Yeah. JG says he seemed miserable. Yeah. He needs to enjoy life. Ed says, sorry, but he chose this path and make $3-4 million a year. Don't feel bad for him. Just resign. I don't feel bad for him in the sense that, you don't need to say anybody should lose their job. Oh gosh. I feel bad for him man to man that he's obviously passed, you know, it's time to get on up out of there.
But it's not.
He's given 40 years of his life. I mean, man to man, I feel bad about that.
Yeah.
But I'll be like, oh, poor Paul and his family. No, I feel bad for assistant coaches that get fired because a lot of them are on 2-year contracts. But unless they're on year-to-year contracts, they have to move their family around and all that. Head coaches, no. They get to go to their beach house or their chalet and stock up and take their wife to Cancun for the rest of the season.
Right. Yeah.
It's a golden parachute.
Yeah. Right now you feel bad for his family because they could be spending time with him, but he's up here doing what he's doing.
Yeah. And that was a red flag because Coach Holtz did that a mm-hmm. little bit. Like he was at Columbia in the season. He had a house here and stuff, but spent a lot of time in Orlando. And then you start to wonder, you know, when Coach Holtz was here, in football, Skip Holtz was kind of the guy. You know, he kind of kept – and Skip obviously was his son, and Skip is a hell of a football coach.
Yeah.
The guy in charge is Terry Rooney. Nobody hired Terry Rooney to run the South Carolina baseball program.
No.
Who hired him? Ray Tanner didn't hire him to run the baseball program. You know? And so, I mean, look at that guy's record.
I think he should go too. It was a package deal with them both coming in here, so it needs to be a package deal if they both leave.
Yeah. I love that's these from Harrison. Harrison, yeah. Brian Harrison always has great. His mom likes to listen. Said, you boys got going on here, and it's a great idea because my mom, Jennifer Williams, is so proud of hearing y'all. Stay blessed and go Gamecocks. Yeah, shout out to your mom, Brian. We love it when you get in and drop mom's name. Shout out to Jennifer. That's what makes it worth its while.
Mm-hmm.
God, I got to skip some of this. Craiger says that Clayton White confirmed Peyton Williams will be one of the starting safeties. Yeah, I'd be surprised if he wasn't. I talked about that on coffee today. Right now, David Busey's the other one, but fourth practice just this morning, you know, so just give it time. And I think they're trying to motivate Daniels to kind of get in that mix a little bit. Not that he needs motivation again, three spring practices, but that's going to kind of how it works right now. But yes, that's the dream. Blake says with the lack of depth at edge, you see a chance of Clayton White going to the 3-3 front or they stick with the 4-3 unless depth becomes hindered. I've been thinking about this with the depth of DT. I don't know because, you know, they don't really like to use that a whole lot. They had to, and it was smart in 23. They run it sometimes. Kelby Collins could slide out, but, you know, they're putting weight on these guys to go inside. I think as far as the depth at edge goes, you need these guys to get back from injury because you got George Wilson, you got Quay Dodd. Sitting there, you know, what are you going to get out of Drew Collins is a good question. You know, you got Julian Walker and Caleb Herring. I'm missing someone mostly. Oh, and Anthony Addison.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know that they're going to be that deep as far as that goes. I'm scrolling through. Ethan said Maneri does have a soothing voice. Yeah, that's great enough. Yeah, gee, guys. Well, I don't know if we hit the ball better or not, Phil. You know, gee, I...
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's got voiceover potential if he wants to continue to work.
So Quantrill asked the question. Yeah, Quantrill, no. No way. You know, he said, do you think Donati's just prone to waiting until season's end so he can clean house? The chance Monty turning it around as interim is not advantageous for Donati. He wants his guy. I think you're giving him too much credit. Not that he does, may not, I mean, you know, and if he wants his guy, it doesn't matter if he turns it around. You know, how much can you turn it around? I mean, if you have an interim coach that takes you to Omaha, then you've got to give him the job.
Right.
You look like a clown otherwise.
It doesn't have to be a giant contract or anything like that. You can do it in such a way that you're not, giving away the farm.
But as far as the decision at the end and the cleaning house thing, Quantrill, I you could do that anyway. I mean, that doesn't cost you any money. You're either paying Maneri to coach or not to coach. And then you got to pay a buyout. You know, and you get some new blood in there. Maybe you win a few games, Phil. You know, maybe you get people feeling better about the program because right now nobody's showing up. And it's a program that operates, even if you look, I'll look at it from the bean counter perspective. They make revenue off beer sales and baseball games.
Right. You know, I mean,
this is not a sport that makes money, but you'd rather lose $2 million than $7 million.
Yeah. You can't sell concessions to an empty stadium.
Greg mentioned Richard Bell in 82. Yeah, that was an internal promotion, though. He had been on staff, and he didn't come in with a national championship. So see how this is a lot different, but that was a bad hire. So, SC Lawman, do you think Hyman was a better AD than Tanner? I think it depends on what you're evaluating him on, but as far if you just look at hires, which is I know what most of you want to look at, period, then Hyman was better. He hired Don Staley. He hired Frank Martin, and regardless of the fact that did not work out, he took Carolina to a Final Four and was here 10 years. So, he kind of ran his life cycle. Other than that, he didn't really hire that many folks, right? He did hire Darren Horn. That was bad.
That didn't work.
He never hired a football coach. And he got the facilities going. Where I look at, you know, what I liked about what Tanner did and what Donati's doing now compared to Hyman, you know, Tanner for football beefed it up spending-wise, resource-wise, facilities-wise. A lot of people like to, just because they don't like Tanner's hires or whatever, they kind of, well, that was Hyman's plan or whatever. They had a master plan. I've looked at it. And it was totally different than what actually happened. And I think Ray did a great job of saying in football, which is what makes the money, we need to spend money and all that. And that was at the expense of other, maybe so. And he did a great job fundraising and managing the finances, and he made elite hires in women's sports. I know Dawn Staley was Hyman's. But in some aspects, yes, Eric Hyman was a better AD. And the one that you care about, most of you do, hires, you can't compare the two. Not right now. Shane Beamer goes to college football playoff next year. I think maybe we could reopen the discussion. But when you've had a historically bad year in men's sports and it's your second football coach you've hired and your third baseball coach you've hired and your only basketball coach you've hired, you how many is that? Five, six guys? That's three, four, five guys, five hires in those sports. And you can't really say any of them have worked out. Yeah. Yeah, dude. I mean, you got to say it. I'll say it. And I can compartmentalize Ray Tanner, the AD, and I believe there were some other AD-type things he did that were fantastic, you know, that people don't talk about. And I still have respect for him as a baseball coach. Some people want to blend those two together and trash his baseball legacy because they're mad. You can't take that. The baseball legacy has to stay. I mean, you got to just kind of – differentiate between the two. I'm a terrible manager of people. I'm pretty good at my job, right? Does that make sense?
All right.
Yeah. But you put me in a position of authority, like not authority, like management, like the basics right. of management. I'm god awful. You know, so sometimes, but nobody would sit there and say, well, the other parts of your, you know, in your career, you've done pretty well. You know, they wouldn't hold that against me. Harrison said, thinks Desmond Umezulu is going to end up biting more than he thought. I liked him. I thought he was good. But until he shows it on the field, Harrison, don't get, because I saw some Alabama things like, this guy is huge. And maybe he will be good. I don't know. So far, now. Russell says Bob Ross comparison for Palminteri. Montrell says the swoosh is going to look good beside the college football playoff patch. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll
always hope. Montrell said the Under Armour gods are punishing South Carolina for leaving. Maybe so, dude. I mean, the owner of Under Armour is a Maryland guy. Maryland's mascot's the Turtles. My Turtle's mean. She bit my finger this morning.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
There's a whole theory of relativity there. Everything's relative, Bill. The simulation. We made it through the chat box, buddy.
We did. You got all the way to the end. I'm proud of you, man. You burned
it. Yeah. Got it rocking and rolling. I'm sorry if I missed you, but we got Wide Open Wednesday coming up. Maybe do some Wide Open Friday because Matt Anderson's got his annual.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
March Madness boondoggle this weekend, so he won't be with us. We're gonna get rolling, so maybe we'll open it back up for Quantrill and SC Lawman and Big Slam and Jama. I saw my guy Jan Bennett in the chat box earlier. He's a big baseball fan. I don't think he's happy at all.
Someone tells me Jan is not happy.
Jan's probably not happy. Mm-hmm. My man is not thrilled.
No.
You don't ever want Jan to not be thrilled with you or any about anything. Anyway. For the Mad Dog, JC Sherbert, thanks to D's Wings, thanks to Gamecock Traditions, thanks to Meredith Taylor and McKellar Enterprises, all the sponsorships, Palm Casual, Resto Pros of Columbia, JT's Kia of Columbia. Download the Chiefs Sports app. Get into our bracket challenge because I want all of you to make fun of me. My bracket's good. I went with St. John's again to go all the way to the finals.
I was thinking about doing that, taking them into the final four.
I'm taking the Godfather again, dude.
My daughter just said she's in and she's taking Duke to win it all. All right.
I'm taking Michigan to win it all, which has South Carolina connection with Mike Boynton Jr. on staff.
I was leaning that way too.
I didn't do it because of that, because I'm not really a big Michigan, you know, their athletic department or whatever. What's going to happen next? But Dusty May is a heck of a coach and really good tournament coach, and they're really good. So I took Michigan over St. John's in the finals. So
that'll be good.
All right. Let's get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow. It's smorgasbord day, so we're going to get Alex's take on all this. Hopefully there's a VHS date. If not, he's going to evaluate a weird cartoon. Trust me, there's plenty of those.
Yes.
And we'll see you later. This has been the show.